Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and our gospel reading is taken from the 10th chapter of St. John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. My friends, the fourth Sunday of Easter, which we celebrate today, is often called Good Shepherd Sunday for the simple reason that in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, from which today's Gospel passage is taken, our Lord speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd who takes care of and looks after his sheep, even to the point of being willing to lay down his life for them. In today's passage, we have the first 10 verses of John, chapter 10. In which Jesus not only speaks of himself as the shepherd whom the sheep follow, but he also speaks of himself as the gate through which the sheep must enter if they are to find pasture and food, safety and rest. "I am the gate," our Lord says in verse 9. "Whoever enters through me will be safe. He will go in and out and find pasture." For a moment, then, I would like to examine with you the image of Jesus as a gate, the gate through which the sheep must enter if they are to be saved. The Greek word that St. John uses in this verse is thura, T-H-U-R-A, from which we derive the English word door. As a matter of fact, the first translations of the Bible into English all use the word door to speak of Jesus in this verse. The Douay Rheims Catholic Bible, which a lot of us grew up with, as well as the Revised Standard Version and the Protestant King James Bible, all translate this verse by saying that Jesus is the door through which the sheep must enter if they are to be saved. And so it is this term, door, that I will use to reflect upon this verse today. Jesus is the door to God. And it is only by entering through him, the one mediator between God and man, that we find eternal life. Now, I'm certain that many of you remember a TV game show from many years past that was called Let's Make a Deal. The host, Monty Hall, used to choose a lucky contestant from the studio audience who had to choose one of three doors, door number one, door number two, or door number three. Behind each of the three doors, a prize was hidden. If you are not so lucky, you might choose the door behind which was hidden something like a 3-month supply of cat food. If you were a bit luckier than that, You might choose the door behind which was hidden a new electric range or a living room sofa. But if you were very lucky indeed, you would choose the door behind which was hidden the grand prize, a bit of heaven on earth, something like a dream trip to Hawaii for two, or the greatest of all treasures, a new car. Well, life is not a game show, and fortunately, the God whom we worship is not Monty Hall. God did not design the world in such a way that it requires luck to be saved. No, luck has nothing to do with it, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to be our Savior. And he promises that if we follow the Good Shepherd, and if we choose to enter eternity through him, we will possess the pearl of great price, which is abundant life with God forever. On the other hand, if we seek naught but happiness in this world, we may have to settle for a trip to Hawaii or a new car, and something far, far worse in the life to come, an eternity of darkness and regret apart from God. In June of 1937, our Lord spoke to the Polish nun, Sister Faustina Kowalska, while she was making her annual retreat. As recorded in her journal, this is what Jesus said to her: "Let the greatest of sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. For souls who appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more than they ask." "Write this," Jesus went on to say, "before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to go through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice." The Diary of St. Faustina, number 1146. Yes, on the final days of our lives here on earth, at the moment of our death, we will not find three doors to choose from, but only two: the door of God's justice and the door of his mercy. And there will be no question or doubt about which of the two doors we ought to choose. But we need to choose this door, the door of divine mercy, even now. You see, my friends, none of us can ever withstand the justice of God. For as St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is why God sent his Son into the world. Jesus is the mercy of God incarnate. Jesus, the mercy of God made flesh. We can only go to God through him. There is no better time to make this choice than right now. In fact, we are receiving an urgent invitation to follow Jesus, to go to God through him at the present time. Many people, myself included, look upon the time in which we live, this time of the coronavirus pandemic, as a kind of warning from God, an urgent invitation for us to repent and draw nearer to him. We are facing an invisible enemy in the coronavirus, as our president has often said. And yet the coronavirus is but an outward sign of a much greater enemy. And I'm speaking about the enemy of our souls. Our world has tragically strayed far from God, far from his law. Many no longer recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd or choose to follow him. We really do not know how this time of illness and economic dislocation will play out, or how or when all of this will end. God is calling us now. He beckons us now. He urgently invites us to follow Christ the Good Shepherd, to turn to Him with all our hearts, to repent of our sin and be converted to God's commands. To do that, we must learn to trust in the mercy of God and to enter through Christ, who is the narrow door. I conclude today with a prayer, which is really a paraphrase of our second reading today from the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Lord Jesus Christ, as we come before You in this moment of grace, we place our trust in Your infinite mercy and love. When You were insulted for our sake, O Lord, You returned no insult. When You suffered, You did not threaten. Instead, You handed Yourself over to the One who judges justly. You bore our sins in Your own body on the cross, so that we might be freed from sin and live in the righteousness of God. By Your wounds, Lord, we have been healed, for we had all gone astray like sheep, but now we have returned to You, the Shepherd and Guardian of our souls. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Jesus, I trust in You.